Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, that is a startling parable. And our painting up there by a German Renaissance painter named Memling, that's a pretty startling painting of Christ on the Day of Judgment. You know, this parable bothers me, to be honest. It shakes me up a little bit. How about you? You know, in the previous chapter, Matthew 24, just days before He was crucified, Jesus announced that He was returning. Well, that didn't make much sense to His disciples. They still didn't grasp that He was going to be crucified in a few days. And then 40 days after that, ascend back into heaven. But nonetheless, Jesus announced that He'd return, and when He returns, it won't be as the suffering servant who gave His life as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of mankind. When He comes again, Matthew 24, verse 30 says, it will be on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a series of parables related to His return. And the final parable is this unsettling passage we just read, the parable of the sheep and the goats. It bothers me because I wonder, am I a sheep going to heaven or a goat going to hell? The easy answer, the comforting answer, is that I'm a sheep. I'm going to heaven. That's what I assume. But then I compare myself to this description of the sheep. A sheep is someone who loves his neighbor as himself. As Jesus described it, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. That's how the sheep are described. The sheep love their neighbors as themselves. I don't know that I'm doing that. I'm not doing it very well. So where does that leave me? You know, last week we talked about how Scripture is divided into two parts, law and gospel. Like most of Matthew 25, this parable is a law passage. Law passages tell us what we should do or should not do. This parable tells you what you should do. If this parable doesn't bother you because you think you're doing all that stuff, then I'm concerned. Concerned because I'm pretty sure that you're not doing all this stuff consistently. Sometimes you don't do it at all. Neither do I. I do what I can. I help where I'm able. Sometimes, if it's convenient. But Jesus said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." If you think you're keeping the law, you're deceiving yourself. You know, in Mark chapter 10, there's a true story of a wealthy young man who approached Jesus because he was also concerned about whether he was a sheep or a goat. He didn't put it that way. He hadn't heard the parable. But he too wanted to know, am I going to heaven or not? So he approached Jesus, and kneeling before him, he asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered in an interesting way. He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And then Jesus responded by asking, "Well, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Have you done all that?" And the young man replied, "Teacher, I've done all that from my youth." He did it without anger. He did it kindly. But Jesus replied by stripping away this young man's self-deception about keeping the law. He said, "One thing you lack. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And come, follow me." Well, the young man turned away disheartened. He was wealthy. Giving it all up, trading wealth and status for poverty and anonymity, was unthinkable for this young man, as it would be for you or me. Jesus was right when he said, "No one is good but God alone." And then he said something else, even more provocative. "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Well, horrified, the disciples asked Jesus, "Then who can be saved?" In other words, then who goes to heaven? Great question. No one can save himself, because no one can keep God's law. Jesus confirmed that when he was asked, "Who can be saved?" And he said, "With man, it's impossible. Impossible that anyone is saved. But not with God. For all things are possible with God." It's God who does the saving. We contribute nothing. Nothing but our sin. Now that's a pretty radical statement. You know, in an essay titled "What Drove Martin Luther's Hammer," referring to Martin Luther kicking off the Reformation by nailing 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, theologian Rod Rosenblatt points out that it was Martin Luther's fear of death and wondering whether he was a sheep or a goat. That's what drove Luther's hammer. Because even though he was as perfect a monk as ever there was, Luther recognized his failure to love God and love his neighbor as himself. And he was terrified by a phrase found throughout Scripture, the phrase, the righteousness of God, because he recognized his lack of righteousness, let alone having the righteousness of God. But Luther's big discovery was that the righteousness of God is a status given to us, conferred upon us, who have no righteousness of our own. The perfect righteousness of God is a gift imputed to us who put our trust in Him. The purpose of the parable of the sheep and the goats is the same as all law passages. The purpose is to shake you up and make you see yourself as you really are and turn you toward the gospel, the good news of Christ's forgiveness and His righteousness imputed to you. You know, I've told the story of my friend and college classmate, Mike Catron, who was killed at age 21 in an industrial accident one summer. At the end of his funeral, as the packed little church in Hoquiam, Washington emptied, I stayed behind, sitting in the back row with the other pallbearers. We sat in the back watching and listening as Mike's mom and dad, his brothers and sister, gathered around the open casket to look at Mike's body one final time. You know, Mike was a funny guy, an outrageous, large, sometimes loud, sometimes bellicose guy who was easy to spot and hard to forget. Like all of us, he was both sinner and saint. And he was blessed with a very devout mother who prayed for him daily. I will never forget the sound of Mike's mom wailing and crying over the body of her dead son right before the casket lid was closed. It was a sound of horrible, unspeakable loss. But in the midst of that misery, there was also hope that day. A sure and certain hope that despite all the grief and pain, we would see Mike again in heaven. That he was among the sheep. And not because of anything he'd done, but because he'd been forgiven. And the righteousness of Christ had been imputed to Mike, just as you've been forgiven, and you continue to be forgiven. You also, having received the gift of Christ's righteousness, you are one of the sheep bound for heaven. I hope that brings you great comfort. You're forgiven and loved by God. You know, this is Thanksgiving weekend. There's nothing in the universe to be more thankful for. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see ourselves as we really are and recognize the magnitude of what you have given us, the righteousness of Christ, given to us, imputed to us, who are not righteous on our own. But we have been wrapped in the clean white robes of Jesus. and God chooses to see only those. Lord, help us to grasp it and be filled with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.